Well, it's a joy tonight
to get to introduce to you. He's been here once before. He preached to a pastor's fellowship that we had. We hosted a small gathering of pastors, and Brother Mark Leone came and preached to them. But Brother Mark Leone has been my dear friend for almost 25 years, I guess. And the Lord put us together in Iowa. And so I worked for Mark's father-in-law. And then, lo and behold, Mark came and worked for that same person. And so neither one of us stayed much longer after Mark got there. So I guess it didn't work out so good for us. But many wonderful things happened in Iowa. Of course, we both got to meet Brother Dan Rogers. He served there as well. And so us three had wonderful fellowship together. But the Lord took us from there, and we went and served in Murfreesboro. But then Brother Mark went down to North Carolina, and he and Sarah and Mark's moved to Iowa from California. And so I came from West Virginia. Mark came from California. We met in Iowa, and neither one of us could stand it for very long, so we both left. So I guess that's the way it worked out, something like that. But friendship forged, and we have had a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And so there's a great joy to me as the pastor to get to introduce to you people who have meant so much to me in my life. And Brother Mark has been one of the dearest friends I have, and I'm so thankful that that the Lord allowed him, rather, to spark a friendship and have it over all these years. And he's just a wonderful, dear friend. His wife, Sarah, who I mentioned, is Pastor Brown's daughter, who we worked for. But then they have two sweet children, Mason and Brooke, and just a wonderful family that's serving the Lord, loving God, and raising their children to serve him as well. And so they are just a blessing all the way around. So with all that being said, Brother Mark, would you come and preach for us? We're so thankful to have you here at Buffalo Ridge. And he's a wonderful friend for all these years. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has given him for us tonight, and I know it'll be a great blessing. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Amen. Bible taken. And please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. After an introduction like that, I better
whip out my Bible, sign on the Bible.
But I don't know about that, but I appreciate your pastor. He has been a great friend to me, and it is a joy to be here tonight. Speaking of Iowa, boy, I was having some flashbacks. I remember Brother Dan, he would lead the choir there, and still leading the choir the same, and we just had some good memories there. And then Brother Pastor Herdman talking about the cold weather. I heard one time that there was a family out in Iowa in the middle of July. They heard a knock at the noise and a knock at the door, and the mother said, "I wonder who that could be," and the husband said, "Well, it might be last year's Christmas tree trying to get back in." And so, you know, it gets cold there, not necessarily in July, but it gets cold. So it's so cold there, let me tell you, when you go out door knocking, Brother John, you probably remember this, you go out door knocking and you're just praying somebody will let you in. You're like, I don't care what the house looks like, just let me in, you know. And so we have a lot of good memories. I remember that one time, and I won't take long on the introduction, but I remember one time we were there, and one of the members had the idea, while my father-in-law was having some cancer surgery and going through cancer and everything, one of the members had an idea to redo the pastor's office. Well, that church there, it was a very ancient building, and some of that stain was on that wood for years and years. And so we pulled out some of that paint stripper, and Pastor Herman, you probably remember this. Boy, we tediously worked on that. I think every bone in our arms ached by the time we were done trying to get all that off and everything. But we have a lot of good memories, and it's a joy to be here tonight. Really just a privilege for me to be here tonight. I love Wednesday nights. It's the backbone of the church, and really, you are the backbone of the church here tonight, and you're in it lock, stock, and barrel, if I can say it like we do in North Carolina. And loving God is obviously not a casual thing to you. You're here tonight. I'm glad to be here in this historic church. I think I saw where you guys, the church had founded in 1779. Anybody here back when it started? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. But appreciate the history behind this church. I appreciate your pastor and his heart for the people. The missionary back here, Brother Billy, said something about the heart of Pastor John Herdman. And you know what? A lot of churches have a preacher, but a lot of churches don't have a pastor. And you have both here. He's a preacher, but he loves people, and you can't ask for anything more than that. And, you know, a lot of churches would die to have a pastor like you have, and I don't say that lightly. I mean that, and I hope you're aware of that. I'm sure you are, and I'm sure you take good care of him and everything, but I'm sure you've probably seen that over the last 3 years, his love for this congregation. And like he said, I was able to work with him for a little bit, and we've just kind of knitted our hearts together and kept in contact, although we don't talk all the time, but when we talk, we just kind of pick up right where we left off and just enjoy his friendship. Well, I had you turn in the book to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses number 1 through 7. And then I just want to give you a little thought. This is kind of a series that I taught, that I preached on at our church about warring against weariness. We just talked about in one of those songs, one of those words was how the tempter comes along. He tries to get us out of the battle for the Lord and to quit serving the Lord. And I want to speak about that a little bit this evening, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this few minutes that we have together this evening. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I sure want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, I think of different men that I know that have preached here, Lord, and what an honor it is to preach here in this church and for this good pastor. God, I pray that you might help me to say the things that you would have me to say and that would bring honor and glory to you. God, I pray that your people might be encouraged. Lord, you know the hearts of all these people. I might know a few of these folks, Lord, but you know each and every one. You know what each one is going through. May you encourage them today is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you know anything about the Bible, and I'm sure most of you probably do being here on a Wednesday night, but you know that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. He wrote really just about half of the New Testament, depending on how you believe about who wrote the book of Hebrews. But the Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians, he was writing to the church at Corinth. And if you know the church at Corinth, boy, it was a church with some issues. It had some problems in the church. And so he's writing a second letter to the church at Corinth. And he writes for a couple reasons. One of the reasons that he writes is he's writing to validate his own apostleship. You have to understand, back then, they were kind of scrutinizing the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. They were saying, you know, Paul, you weren't there when Jesus walked on the earth. He came afterward on the road to Damascus. You know how the light shone round about and he was blinded and all of a sudden he became an apostle. He got saved and became apostle. Well, they were trying to throw rocks at him about that and say, the Apostle Paul, you're not really an apostle. And so he wrote this book and he said, I'm validating my own apostleship. The same God that was with you through the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth is the same one that saved me on the road to Damascus. And so Paul tries to validate his own apostleship, and he went through some things in his own life, some battles that he faced. He talked about how he had distresses in his life, and he talked about how he had even a thorn in the flesh. And you ask, well, why would Paul reveal that? Well, I think he wanted them to know, that to tell the people, hey, I've been through a few things, and I've been through some fire, if you will. I've been through some trials, and I want you to know, if I wasn't a real apostle, if I wasn't really in this to serve God, I would have thrown in the proverbial towel a long time ago. And so he writes to validate his apostleship. He, in essence, he was saying, hey, look at me. Look at what I have fought. Look at what I have battled. If my faith were not real, God wouldn't have called me. I would have thrown in the proverbial towel. And I want to say to us, when we go through hard times, let's realize, hey, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You might be going through some trials today, and let me encourage you, hey, God is still on the throne. God knows exactly where you're at. So he validates his own apostleship. But then he also wants to encourage all the saints who are facing hard times as well. And a side note, hey, can we remember that each of us are going through hard times, and our fellow brothers and sisters here tonight, they're going through some kind of hard times. Let's remember that. In fact, this letter begins, if you were to go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 4, look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 4, chapter 1. He says, "Who comforteth," he's speaking about God, he says, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So Paul is saying that the same God that comforts me, he wants to work in you so you can comfort others. And that's what the Christian life is all about. You going through something so that you can help others in your Christian life. The church here was indeed facing all kinds of trouble. They were facing all kinds of dilemmas. By way of review, they were persecuted. They were fatigued. They were facing spiritual burnout. Some of them had sin issues. Some of them were taking lawsuits against one another. Some of them had battles with fornication. So Paul is trying his best to encourage them to keep going for the Lord, to let them know that, hey, Christ is worthy. Hey, can I remind Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church tonight, remind myself, He is worthy. He is worthy. No matter what we go through, no matter what quote-unquote persecution we might go through, or maybe what scorning on the job we might go through, He is worthy. The ministry is worthy. And so Paul writes, and he's writing to these Corinthians, and he says, hey, I want you to war against weariness. I want to give you just a few thoughts tonight about weariness and how we can war against weariness. You know, as we've gone through COVID, and I'm sure here in Tennessee, COVID is kind of way in the mirror. I don't know about your church, but churches across America are still kind of feeling some of the effects of it. There are some people that maybe have gotten out of church that have not returned. And we've even seen that in our own church. And we've got a good church, and you have a good church. But there are still some effects of that. Maybe in a ministry at a church, there used to be 15 people working, and now there might only be 9 or 10. And maybe those 9 or 10 are now facing some fatigue. And maybe you're looking around and thinking, boy, is it really worth it? Paul says, hey, I want you to remember a few things as you think about this ministry. And so as we look at this thing of warring against weariness, I want to give you just one thought with just a few subpoints, and we'll be on our way. Number one, I would say that we all have this ministry. We have a responsibility in this ministry. Look at verse number 1. It says, therefore, seeing, what's that next word, church? We. He's not saying I. The Apostle Paul says, we have this ministry. Notice he did not say, I have this ministry. He did not say, you have this ministry. He didn't say, if I can use another North Carolina term, y'all have this ministry. He didn't say that, or he didn't say, they have this ministry. He said, we have this ministry. Would you agree with me tonight that the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just placed on the shoulders of a senior pastor? It's not just placed on the shoulders of maybe some staff men in the church or some deacons. It's really for all of us. Everybody, from the front row all the way to the back row, it's for all of us. Paul is saying, hey, it does not belong to just me alone. It belongs to all of us. Hey, can I say tonight, if you know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. God did not just save us to go to heaven. He saved us that we might be a gospel witness for Him. He's not just left the church to gather and to look at one another and to have fellowship. And I'm all for fellowship. I think it's important. But He's left us to be the salt and light of the earth. He says, we have this ministry. We have it together. How many of you tonight are glad that you're saved? Would you raise your hand? Boy, we have something to be thankful for. If we just stop and think about our salvation, hey, we could be lost tonight. We could be without salvation. We could be in some alley on the backside of Gray, Tennessee, or in some big city hooked on drugs and hooked on this or hooked on that. But God saved us and gave us eternal life. the Bible says, but God, who is in rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. How about 1 Peter, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul says, hey, you have this ministry. You have this responsibility. You know what he says? I want to put it back on you. I want to let you know that you have this responsibility. And I'm afraid one of the reasons why maybe us, and I said us, maybe why some of us, we war against weariness. Or maybe we battle with burnout. Or maybe we fight against fatigue. Or maybe we have a combat with complacency, or we have a strife with sluggishness, is simply because us as a church have gotten away from our true mission. We've gotten away from our true responsibility, Brother Mark included. Yeah, what has the church become in these last days? And I'm not saying Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but I'm speaking of the church as a whole. What has the church become? Well, it's become more of a social hall. Sadly, in some cases, a rock concert. In some cases, just something where you have a big social gathering. They've lost their first love. They've become lukewarm. You know, I'm afraid many will gather under a steeple in the name of religion and live Monday through Saturday like God has nothing to do with them. And then we wonder why there's no fire in the church on Sunday. And so we've got to be careful about that. We wonder why there's no fire. Years ago, I heard this story about a church, and it was burning down. And so all the firefighters had gathered together, and they got together to try to fight the fire. And they brought out all the hoses, and they brought out the ladder truck. And boy, they were just doing everything they could to put that fire out. And so it was in a smaller town, and some of the community members came around. They started looking at the fire, and some of the church members had come around. They saw the fire going on and everything. And one of the church members looked over, and he saw somebody from the community there, and it happened to be one of the community atheists, somebody that did not believe in God. And he went over to him and said, "Sir, what are you doing here? I thought you were an atheist." And he said, "I am." He said, "This is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire." Boy, what an indictment upon the church. May that never be said of our churches that we're a part of. May it be that we have a fire. Somewhere along the lines, we have forgotten that it is my responsibility to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the best message that people can ever hear. The fact that Christ came and that he died and that he rose again and he's coming back one of these days. Aren't you glad that one day he is coming back for us? He will come back. Aren't you glad to be saved? Paul says, we have this ministry. Real quick, I want to give you just a few things about this ministry. Notice in verse number 1, we are to be steadfast. We are to be steadfast. We as a church, we have a responsibility to be steadfast. The Bible says there in verse number 1, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I like that word, boy, faint not. It's used again in verse number 16. If you were to jump down there, it says, for which cause we faint not. That word faint means an inner weariness, or maybe a to be exhausted or to retreat in the battle. You know, the truth of the matter is when a soldier retreats physically, long before he ever does that, he begins to do it inwardly. Somewhere along the lines, he gets afraid. Somewhere he gets exhausted. Somewhere he feels as though he won't overcome the opposition. How many of you have ever, you don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever got faint in your mind serving God? We've probably all been there before. Sometimes you wonder, is it worth it? And Paul says, hey, for which cause we faint not. Faint means to be without spirit, to be without vitality. It means to quit. It means to throw in the towel. It means to simply give up. Hey, can I encourage you and remind you tonight that the temptation is great to quit? But how can we fight the temptation? Hey, realize that we have this ministry. And then he goes on and says, not only do we have this ministry, verse number 1, but he says, we have received mercy. Hey, I don't want to quit. You know why? Because he has never quit on me. Never one time has he quit on me. Never one time has he quit being God. I don't want to quit on him. Hey, can we realize that God is bigger than all of our problems? He's bigger than all of it. To effectively minister the gospel, we have got to let the gospel minister to us. We can't serve out of an empty wagon. We've got to fill ourselves up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be around the Word of God. Be around the people of God. Be around the preacher. Be around the preaching of the Word of God. There is a responsibility for us to be steadfast in the Lord. If anyone had reasons to quit, it was the Apostle Paul. You think about it. He was persecuted and he was tried. He was forsaken. He was an outcast. He thought about his old days when he was a blasphemer and he was injurious and he was a persecutor. But he says, hey, I know all this, but I've received mercy. God gave me mercy. Hey, anything we do for him, he is worthy of it and a whole lot more. Boy, any time that we spend out visiting, any time we spend encouraging somebody or preaching or teaching, he's worthy of that and a whole lot more. The Bible tells us, hey, let's not faint, to be steadfast. Number two, look at verse number two. We are not only to be steadfast, but we are to be separated. Look what it says, verse number two. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. There are two schools of thought with this scripture here. Some believe Paul was referring to his old lifestyle, and he says how we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Some people believe that Paul was referring to false teachers. You say, well, what do you believe, Brother Mark? I believe both. I think he was renouncing his old lifestyle and his former ways, but I think at times he renounced false teachers. You see, a little bit after salvation, we ought not to be what we used to be. And I know this is the Wednesday night crowd. I'm preaching to the choir. But we should be different. There are also times we need to renounce. So we need to be steadfast. We need to be separated. But then look at number three. We also need to be scriptural. The Bible says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Paul's saying, hey, don't pervert scripture. Paul's saying, hey, literally, don't cheat on it. Don't adulterate the word of God for the sake of gain. I think of that verse in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. It says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like a scalpel. You know what a scalpel is? A scalpel is very dangerous in the hands of a madman. Boy, if I was facing a surgery, I wouldn't want to go to maybe an apprentice doctor. I'd want to go to somebody that was skilled, you know, but the scalpel in the hands of a madman is a very dangerous thing. But you know, the scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon can bring life. And it can bring healing. It can cut out things in the body. And it can help us to be the person that we should be. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, don't handle the word of God deceitfully. And he said, do it very carefully. And I'm glad you have a pastor that handles the word of God carefully. And I'm sure we have teachers that handle the word of God carefully. Boy, let's rightly divide the truth. So he says, be steadfast. Be separated. Be scriptural, and then I'll close with this thought. Be soul conscious. Be soul conscious. Look at verse number two, in the latter part of verse number two. It says, but by manifestation of the truth. And then look what he says. He says, basically he goes on to describe how he's going to manifest the truth. He says, commending ourselves. That means showing yourself forth. He says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know what Paul's saying? He says, we have this ministry and we're supposed to manifest the truth to every man's conscience. But look how we're supposed to do it. In the sight of God. Can I remind you, dear Christian, when you go to work tomorrow morning, that's your purpose right there. You're supposed to manifest the truth to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You're supposed to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can I remind you, and I'm sure you are well aware of this, but can we be reminded tonight that everybody that walks in the doors of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church will spend eternity in one of two places, a place called heaven and a place called hell. And what are we going to do about it? D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of yesteryear, he had this practice, and he said that every person that he saw in his mind, He placed a capital L on their head, not like we mean today, like the word loser, but he imagined that they were walking around with the letter L on their forehead. You know what that letter L stood for? The word lost. He said, they may not be lost, but until I know different, I tell myself that they are lost. Hey, can I encourage you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Sunday morning when visitors walk in this door, tell yourself, they have an L unless I know different. Speak to them. Welcome them. Boy, be a church that welcomes them. Invite them to sit next to you. Invite them to a meal afterward. You know what? We do all that to cultivate an area where the pastor can get up and preach. And boy, they feel like, hey, I'm loved here. And our slogan in our church is, you're not just welcome at Woodland, you're wanted. And we want people to feel welcome. We want people to feel wanted. And so we need to have the mind of being soul conscious. Why? Because Paul says, hey, we have a responsibility. We have this ministry. Can I remind you tonight, let's be mindful of that. I think the church as a whole, not Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but the church as a whole has muddied the waters. We've gotten all engrossed with programs. We've gotten all engrossed with events and experience and all that. But at the end of the day, it's all about seeing folks saved, seeing folks baptized, seeing folks join the church and grow in Christ. Why? So they can go out and tell others about Christ. The Apostle Paul says, we have this ministry. Can I encourage you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we, what's the next two words? Faint not. Can I encourage you? Don't faint. Don't faint. I don't know who in here tonight might be thinking about maybe throwing in the proverbial towel. Maybe you're thinking about going to Pastor Herdman and saying, well, I just don't feel like I can go on in this ministry. I don't feel like I can keep teaching this Sunday school class. Hey, can I encourage you? We'll never know this side of heaven what effect that you're having. You will probably never know this side of heaven what effect that you are having. Hey, can I encourage you? Just keep on keeping on. Don't faint. You might grow weary. Take a few days off. Get out of town. Do what you got to do. But get back in the saddle. The best thing that you can do for your church is just be faithful. Just keep singing in the choir. Keep running those buses. Keep teaching Sunday school class. The Bible says, hey, one of these days, we're going to reap if we faint not. Oh boy, let's do that tonight. Let's realize we have this ministry. It's not just the pastor. It's not just Brother Daniel Wakefield. It's not just Brother Dan Rogers. It's not just the deacons. We have this ministry. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know your custom as far as the invitation goes, so I'll turn it over to Pastor Herdman at this time. Thank you for listening, and I hope the Lord spoke to you about something, Pastor Herdman.
Amen. Well, let's pray together as they begin to play, and here's the invitation. Perhaps the Lord spoke to your heart, and maybe you're that one that's wearied in the way. I hope that you have got help tonight, but I hope also you've realized and kind of drawn in on that part that Brother Mark was talking about, and that is that there's so much ministry to go around. It's not just any one person. It's you say, I don't hold a position. Well, positions come and positions go. Really, positions don't mean a whole lot. We've all got this ministry. We're all holding it up, and I hope that you're holding up in prayer, in serving, and just seeing other people, as he mentioned, on Sundays. And may we each realize that it's so important for all of us to shoulder that. Would you stand together if you're able to? And as they continue to play, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to just come and pray for what is happening around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for the things that you do. Maybe something you're thinking about doing. Whatever it is, this altar is open for you. Would you come and pray? And then as well, if there's something else you have on your heart that you'd like to give to the Lord, the altar is a wonderful place to do it. One last question, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come and let one of us just take a Bible and show you how you can be sure? I know that it would be intimidating to some degree to come down, but this is the most important decision you'll ever make in all of your life. If you're here, maybe you're a member, but you're still not sure about that. Maybe you've kind of been battling with it for years, but if there's something on your heart that you're just not sure about your salvation, would you step out and come? Thank you so much. Here's what I want to do. I want to give a couple of announcements, but then, Brother Dan, we might as well go ahead. We got time. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? I'm going to shut off the live stream here. Whenever you all get it shut off, we want to show them.